Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. In just a minute, I'm going to be talking to you about the questions of leadership. I think it's going to be a lesson that's going to really resonate with leaders, but I think it's going to help leaders refine their leadership journey and their leadership model. But before we get into that, I want to mention to you two things that are available to you to just help you. One is my new book, What's His Name? It's an in-depth study on the seven redemptive names of God in the Old Testament and how those names are combined in the name of Jesus in the New Testament. What I can tell you is it's very, very practical. So you could stand up and teach each one of these chapters, and it would be something that would be very beneficial to your congregation, to your church, to your leaders. So that's one thing. The second thing that I'm really excited about is we now have 20 leadership videos. 20 leadership videos out there that are possibilities of training leaders. And it can happen in a couple of ways. Some churches are just showing the videos. Others, the pastor is watching the video and then teaching the videos. Either way is fine. It's just that you have to be out there and be communicating. If you want to know more about either one of those, you can go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com and you can find it there. Let me go back to the podcast. The questions of leadership. I believe there's some questions that every leader needs to answer. Because across the country, as I've taught leadership, across the country, as I've literally been in rooms with leaders, questions occur. And those questions have caused me questions. And really, the questions I'm going to give you are the questions that I'm asking based on the questions that are being asked to me. So I hope you get that. And the first question that I'm asking of leaders is this: are you talking leadership instead of teaching leadership? Are you talking leadership instead of teaching leadership? I have found that there's a lot of leaders that just like to talk about leadership. They just like to have the conversation, and they love the context of leadership, and they love the stories of leadership. But there's a difference between talking leadership and teaching leadership. And the difference is this: leadership, when you teach it, involves a punch. It's just that little bitty punch. And when I say punch, it's not a knockout punch. It's just a punch. It's like giving someone, when you were a kid, a punch in the arm. You're not trying to knock them out. You're just trying to say, hey, I'm here. How are you? Well, that little punch. See, what I found is if you're going to teach leadership, there has to be a punch to it, because leadership makes people uncomfortable. The very nature of leadership is that when you see a leader in the Bible, they were always in uncomfortable moments. When Jethro went to Moses and he said, "The thing that you're doing is not right." I'm telling you, when you say that to a leader, that's a punch. When Nehemiah is reading about how things are in Jerusalem, that was a punch to him. When Daniel is approached by the king's men and said, "You got to eat a certain way," and he says, "No, let's try it this way," that was a punch back. And what I found is a lot of people want to talk about leadership, but they don't want to teach it, because if you teach it, there's a little bit of punch to it. And if people aren't feeling the punch, they're not going to grow. They're not going to wrap their arms around it. They're not going to get it. They're not going to say, "Hey, I'm here." So are you talking leadership instead of teaching leadership? If you're talking it, there's no punch. If you're teaching it, there's a punch. So if you're in the room with me and I'm talking leadership, you're going to feel something. And if you don't feel something, then it's lost. The second question: are you the voice of leadership? Are you the voice of leadership? What I've learned is that in every organization, there are two sides to leadership. There's the position of leadership and then there's the voice of leadership. The position of leadership is usually something that's been conferred. You become the senior pastor. You're the head of the board. Those are positional things. But what I've learned is there's a functional side of leadership, and that is the voice of leadership, who people listen to continually. This really, really came to the forefront because I have a friend that I love dearly. He's one of the best individuals I know in life, and I love him. And in his organization, what I've learned is about every 18 months, there's staff upheaval. And the staff is either leaving, coming, questioning. And I started looking and I'm thinking, I know this guy. Why does this guy have this on rerun? Why is it that there's always this tension among his team? And then it hit me. He was an individual that has the position of leadership, but he's abdicated the voice of leadership. He's not the voice. And see, every day people are going to listen to someone. And if you're not the voice, they're going to listen to someone else. And you have to be the voice. Biblically, what does the Bible say? My sheep know my voice. In your organization, people need to know your voice. Not because you sit in the staff meeting and you say, well, this, but they know your voice because they've heard you articulate leadership values. See, giving information isn't the same thing as having a leadership voice. Saying, hey, we're going to do 5 services on Easter, that's an announcement. But articulating a value, we believe that Easter is our Super Bowl, that this is the moment when we can have the widest reaching impact in our community. So we're going to go in and we're going to add 2 services because these 2 services give us the possibility of reaching more people. And we're going to stand before God and he's going to ask us, did we do the best? Did we stretch? Did we reach to reach others? See, announcing 5 services, that's just an announcement. Creating value, that is leadership. So have you become the voice of leadership? And it's one of those things I tell people. If you're not teaching leadership, someone else will become the voice. If there's not a time that to your team and to your leaders, they hear you teach leadership, someone else will become the voice. And what was happening in this organization was that my friend had the position of leadership, but he didn't have the voice of leadership. So someone's voice would be heard. They would stir things up. There would be turmoil in the staff. People would stay, people would leave. And it's all because he thought the position of leadership was enough. You have to have the position with the voice. The next thing is, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan for leadership? Without a plan, there will be no leaders. See, every pastor and leader that I know laments that they don't have more leaders. And they lament it by saying, man, if I had a few more leaders, I could do more. If I had a few more leaders, I could accomplish more. If I had a few more leaders, I would be able to, and they give you this whole arena. And they know that leadership is the deficit. They know that if they could somehow bridge this leadership value and vacuum, that they would be able to accomplish more. But they just talk about they don't have them. But here's what you need to know. Without a plan, there will be no leaders. Without a plan, there will be no leaders. Now, Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 10 when he said, the harvest is plentiful. He says, ma'am, it's everywhere. There are opportunities everywhere. But he said, the laborers are few. So the first thing he said is, pray therefore. So are you praying for leaders? Are you believing God for leaders? Are you praying for them? But then as a part of your plan, you've got to go deeper than that, because Jesus just didn't pray. He found 12 individuals. And from those 12 individuals, he found another 70. So he created in 3 years, 82 leaders. He had a plan. These people were walking with him. They were being taught by him. They were hearing his values. They were hearing his heart. And so if all you do is pray and you don't have a way of taking people and evolving them and transforming them into leaders, then you fail. This is one of the reasons we created the 20 videos, is that we wanted to give people a way to articulate leadership so that they could begin to have a pathway. Because if you don't teach it, you don't get it. And so a lot of people say, oh man, I just need more leaders. If you're really wanting leaders, then you've got to teach it. You've got to have a program that you're teaching it, a plan that you're teaching it, a schedule that you're teaching it. Do you have a plan? Next question. What are your standards? What are your standards? See, a lot of people give away titles, but they don't give away standards. Oh, you're the associate pastor. What does it mean to be an associate pastor? Well, you're the executive. You're the chief financial officer. What does that really mean? What are the standards? No standards, no leaders. I've never seen a high-capacity leader who didn't have high levels of standards. And those standards are critical. They were so critical that Paul had Timothy teach them. And he said, this is what someone who has oversight does. And he gives these characteristics. This is what someone who serves does. Titus taught it. Why? Because if there aren't standards and the standards aren't known, all you have is a title. And giving someone a title without standards is dangerous. What I found is they'll take the title but ignore the standards, because you didn't give them standards. But I'd also say you can't raise the standard on others unless you raise them on yourself. I've now done this for 46 years. And doing it for 46 years, every time I ask more of others, I've had to ask more of me. There's not a place, it's not at 30 years, it's not at 40 years, and I don't think it'll be at 50 years, that I get to say, I ask more of others, and I get to ask less of me. You can't raise the standards on others unless you raise them on yourself. Unless you raise them on yourself. The next question is, have you located leadership? Have you located it? Do you know where leadership is? Do you know where leadership is located? You're going into a community, you want to find a particular restaurant. You bring it up on Google Maps. What are you doing? You're figuring out where it's located. A lot of people are looking for something, but they've never looked up the location of it. So let me help you with leadership. This is what leadership is. It's located on the inside before it's on the outside. Leadership is an external talent. It's internal. It is where transformational moments happen. It is where self-sacrifice occurs. It's where attitudes begin. It's where your heart begins to be engaged. See, if you're going to lead biblically, you have to lead from the inside out. Now, I don't know anything about secular leadership. Maybe you can just be a secular leader and lead from the outside in. I've never wanted to take a demotion and be a secular leader. I wanted to be a spiritual leader because I consider that the greatest kind of leader that exists in society today. Someone who leads with intention and values to take people on a journey that's bigger than this life. But if you're going to do that, you've got to understand inside of you is where leadership is. I was just in a meeting, and we do a thing called GBSL, and it's our school of leadership, and we have two schools outside the school here at our location. One's in Seattle, and one of them's in New Braunfels. And one of the men came up to me, and this man said to me, "I want you to know that I've been in business my whole life. I've retired." He started as an engineer, but he became eclectic, and he went into management, and he said, "What's happened since I've been in the school of leadership is you've taken me on a journey," because they show these videos. And he said, "The journey's been the 18 inches from my head to my heart." He located leadership. See, leadership had always been about his head, but now it's about his heart. As a leader, before it's outside, it's inside. And leadership is private before it's public. And if you're not doing the private things, the public things will eat you alive. Have you located leadership? Next principle. Do you look in the mirror? Do you look in the mirror? See, reflection gives you the best view of you. And if you don't look in the mirror to see how you are, the Bible says the person who hears the word of God and doesn't do it is like a man looking in a mirror but forgets who he is. See, in your life, there needs to be times of reflection. What is said in Psalms, "Be still and know that I am Lord." Just be still. "Search me, O God, and try me, and show me if there be any wicked way." Searching, reflection. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord." That sense of pause, of evaluation. See, reflection is the key to you getting better. It gives you the best view of you. I was reading an article the other day, and it was intriguing. It was talking about the self-checkout lines that most grocery stores have. But the problem with self-checkout lines is that they're based on a trust. That when I go up there and I'm putting down potatoes, that I'm not saying the potatoes are something else that is not as expensive, but I'm weighing them instead. So it's not as though I'm stealing, I'm just misrepresenting. And they talked about the amount of money stores lose. But then they made a point. They said that one of the things that has helped them not lose as much money is now at self-checkouts, there's the mirror where you see yourself as you're checking out. And they said that wherever there's a mirror, people will misrepresent less. Isn't that intriguing? As long as you see yourself, you're honest. If you can't see yourself, you're not honest. So, do you take those moments? I've talked about it before, where a counselor who was a lead psychologist that specialized in Fortune 500 leaders, he was being asked a question. And the question was this: what is the quickest way to distinguish between a good leader and a bad leader? Because there are good and bad leaders out there. And he answered the question. He said, "Oh, that's simple." He said, "Reflection." And the interviewer asked him, well, what do you mean with reflection? He said, every leader makes decisions, and every leader makes bad decisions, and every leader makes good decisions. But what reflection does is it makes you pause and say, I just made a bad decision. This decision affected people. And it makes you feel for a moment the effect of your decision. And he said, the person who never reflects, oh, I just make a decision and I go on with it and I never think about it again. He said, that'll be a bad leader because they never reflect on what their decision truly did to them, the organization, or other people. So do you look in the mirror? The last thought, can you lead with scarcity? Can you lead with scarcity? Someone says, well, what does that mean? It just means when you're leading, seldom do most leaders have enough. Most leaders never have enough time. Most leaders never have enough people. Most leaders never have enough money. Most leaders never have enough resources. You're going to have to lead with scarcity because you're seldom going to have enough. There's going to be something that's lacking. You may have a lot of time, but you may not have a lot of money. You may have a lot of money, but you may not have the right people. Well, you may have the right people, but you don't have the resources. So can you lead when you don't have everything you want? See, if you have to have everything you want to lead, you're not going to lead. Leaders don't lead in a vacuum of perfection. Leaders always have inadequacy and deficiency around them. And they have to learn to lead with scarcity. So let me give them to you again. Just some questions. Are you talking leadership instead of teaching leadership? Are you the voice of leadership? Do you have a plan for leadership? What are the standards of leadership? Have you located leadership? Do you look in the mirror? And can you lead with scarcity? These are all questions that as I've listened to people ask me questions, that has come back to me. I want to remind you, my new book, What's His Name? I think it's a good book. I think it's a very transferable book, and I think it could help. You can go online and get that. And I want to remind you of the videos. I think they could be helpful to some of you in executing a plan, and they can be redone multiple times and just help you. If you announce leadership, you'll draw people who want to be a leader. If you announce, hey, we're doing a study on, and you mention what the spiritual study is, people in the business world don't come to that because they don't think that'll help them. But if you stand up and say, I'm doing a class on leadership, watch how many business people show up because they know they have to lead. So you can call my office and find out more about those videos or look online. Hey, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.